Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There was plenty of crazy to go around this weekend. From NFL to college football, the return of the Big Ten. So welcome back to you Big Ten schools and football fans. I know that you were chomping at the bit. And how about the World Series? Three games over the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Saturday was definitely one for the ages. Even last night had plenty of drama and adrenaline spikes. It's about the time the cricket was hopping around my kitchen. How was I supposed to concentrate when there's a giant cricket in my kitchen? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm pleased to have you with us. Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Monday. If you've been awake all night long, well, we're happy to keep you company. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. What was your kind of crazy this weekend? We've put that post up on Twitter and Facebook. I love the hashtag my kind of crazy. In fact, I used it. Some of you are using it. So check it out. A-Law Radio or Facebook page named after the show. And producer Dave is retweeting some of your answers. And then on Facebook, you guys just have this running conversation. I don't think you ever sleep. You just talk football and baseball right now, other sports on our Facebook page 24/7. But that's okay. It's open for you 24/7. We're going to get to Sunday night football into overtime, though it was a moment much earlier in the game that everyone will be talking about around the water cooler. Oh, wait, that doesn't apply to 2020. You'll be talking about it virtually and electronically, technologically, come this morning when you connect with your other peeps, with your crew. We've also got our Monday MVP poll up, and it's a nice little fight right now. In fact, we've got a dead heat between our top two candidates, with candidate number three, behind door number three, trailing by just 5 percentage points. And I really do think that the fourth guy in the poll, not many people have heard of, which is why he's not getting as many votes, but he did have a really impressive day as well. So, on Twitter or Facebook, we're going to get to as much as we can this final hour of our show. And then I think as we head through the week, whew, and things maybe settle into less frenetic, chaotic, hectic rhythm, we'll kind of pick up some of the pieces and go back over what we saw week 7 in the NFL. Here's what we know. Only one undefeated, only one winless team remaining. The NFL is thick around the middle. Everybody else kind of bunched in together. And we do have some teams that are starting to show us their personality. We get to see their strengths, but we also see their weaknesses. And every team has a fatal flaw. Every team has at least one. Some teams have far more than one. For some franchises, it's going from bad to worse. For others, they are celebrating the fact that they stole victory from the jaws of defeat this morning. Some statement wins over the weekend. Some losses that may have caused fans to break loose and give up. And so I want to know what your kind of crazy was in sports this weekend. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. World Series Game 5. Always pivotal. Ever critical. Crucial. So important when it's a tie series, the winner of game 5, and this is across the board in all the team sports that have the same format. The winner of game five goes on to win the title or to win the series better than 83-84% of the time. The numbers bear it out. And so this game five, massive, especially when you consider how game four ended. And I could watch this 100 times and still my mouth would drop open.
And the pitch on the way. Swing, line drive, right center. It's a base hit. Kiermaier around third. He scores the tying run to third base and being waved home. And now they've got a couple between third and home. The ball gets away. Into score, Rosarena. The Rays have won.
There's your Dan Johnson moment. Oh, my. They're trying to catch him in the outfield, and they can't.
That has got to be one of the most unlikely endings to a World Series game in the history of baseball. The Rays have won it 8-7 on a base hit by Phillips and a comedy of errors by the Los Angeles Dodgers. And this World Series is tied at 2 games apiece.
From the category of you can't make this stuff up, I'm sure you've talked about it. It's been talked about ad nauseum. The only World Series game in history ever to feature 3 lead changes after the 6th inning. And the only World Series game in history ever to feature a pair of errors on the walk-off. Oy. Credit the Rays. They got to race around the outfield, celebrate like they won the title, and this at least kept them in the running. As both Chris Taylor and Will Smith make errors, Kenley Jansen blows up, and the Rays steal that win on Saturday night, which led us to Game 5 on Sunday night. And as you can imagine for the Dodgers, what they most wanted to do was get out to a lead early. And it was Clayton Kershaw on the mound. And when the Dodgers score 3 runs for Clayton in his career, he's 137-13. Whoa. When they score 4 runs, he's never lost. And so the numbers don't lie. Not when you have that large a sample size. Get some runs on the board early. Give Clayton Kershaw a cushion. And then stick to the game plan, which for Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw meant he likely wasn't going to go past the 6th inning if he was even out there through the 6th inning. We'll get to that coming up. The turning point of this game. The Dodgers are up by a run, bottom of the 4th. The Rays have runners at the corners with only 1 out. Kershaw is in trouble, and he only had 1 2/3 perfect innings. It's kind of awkward, but he hadn't gotten through a clean inning to this point. He strikes out Adames, and there are 2 outs. And then, as he's battling through the next hitter, there was this interesting move by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Dodgers 3-2. Now coming home and trying to steal the plate. Margot is out at the plate. Manuel Margot, a head first slide. Kevin Cash hoping for a replay reprieve. He's asking the umpire, home plate umpire, Marvin Hudson, hold the phone. It was a straight attempted steal at the plate.
Kershaw heard his own dugout, the advantage of not having a whole lot of people. He backed off with his left foot and threw home. That was not on the pitch. He backed off and made the throw.
Kershaw, with the aid of the dugout, makes the play, Barnes the tag out, and the inning is over.
Hey, I looked at him originally, but you know, when I come set, I don't really see the runner, so you got to yell at me if they start going. And he was yelling at me, step off, step off, step off. So instinctually, I just kind of did it, and that was a big out force right there.
And if Manny felt that he had a read on it for whatever reason, I it's tough for me to say yes or no, just because he's a talented base runner.
So Kevin Cash didn't send that play in. That was something that Manuel Margot decided on his own, Manny. And Clayton Kershaw couldn't see him because Clayton's a lefty, which means his back is to third base. And, of course, he's pitching out of the stretch at this point. And so he's relying on his dugout and his teammates to tell him to step off. Why does he step off? Well, so he doesn't balk. Steps off, delivers the throw home, as you hear with Charlie Steiner. And I like the point that Rick Monday made. Actually made it earlier on the show. And then I got so excited when I heard Monday say the same thing. If those stands are full at Globe Life Field or in either one of the parks in St. Pete or Los Angeles, he might not hear his teammates telling him to step off. He might not know that Margot is breaking for home. But it took not only him hearing it, but doing it immediately and then throwing home, because the tag just barely got Margot before he slid into the plate. To me, that was the turning point. Gets him out of the jam. Kershaw then has a 1-2-3 fifth, has to face Kevin Kiermaier again, but actually strikes out two in the fifth, becomes the all-time postseason leader in strikeouts. So congratulations to Clayton Kershaw. On into the sixth inning, he gets two outs with two pitches. And yet, here comes Dave Roberts to pull him out of the game. Now, the infield is specifically Justin Turner. You can see they're campaigning to allow Kershaw to stay in the game. Come on, he can get it. It was two pitches. It was only two outs. He can get this next guy. But instead, Dave Roberts stuck to the plan and brings in Dustin May.
We felt that, you know, he was at the end and he just had enough to get two hitters to go to Dustin at Margot. And so, you know, we talked about it and he executed, you know, he held up his part of the deal and got the two hitters. And we didn't say how many pitches. We said two hitters. And that was what we agreed upon. And at that point in time, I felt that I wanted to take the baseball from him. And, you know, he just grinded. He willed himself to that point. And I will say it wasn't his best stuff, but he found a way to get out, and I give him all the credit.
So that was the plan. And if you're watching the game on TV, you may have noticed there was a pretty intense discussion going on between Kershaw and Roberts in between innings. And apparently that's what they talked about, that he would face two hitters and that Dustin May would come in and would face Margot. And they stuck to the plan, despite the fact that it took two pitches. Now, the fans booed at Globe Life Field, but it was so good to hear booing. It's just so good to hear noise in a stadium. And they've had fans, roughly 11,500, and they actually booed heavily as Kershaw walks off the mound before they started cheering for him. So that was the plan. Kershaw said afterwards, I knew the plan. We stuck to the plan. And then Dustin May comes in and strikes out Margot with a fastball that's over 101 miles per hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. If we know anything at all about these Rays, we know that they put pressure on you and that they have a way of wriggling themselves out of these sticky situations. So into the ninth inning, it looks as though all of Dave Roberts' decisions are working out famously. It's not Kenley Jansen, who had pitched back-to-back nights and, of course, who blew the save in game number four. Instead, he's got a different guy working on the mound, and promptly his closer of choice puts a runner on first base with a single. And so once again, there is stress leading into these final moments.
1-2 to Adames with two out. Here it comes. And down he goes. Swung on and missed, strike three. The Dodgers beat the Rays 4-2. They now lead the World Series 3-2. Coming back from last night's devastating loss, the Dodgers are one win away from winning the World Series.
And so the Los Angeles Dodgers are standing on the cusp, but if we know anything about these Rays, as I mentioned, we know that they're resilient, certainly having Blake Snell on the mound in game number 6 on Tuesday. So they'll be off till Tuesday. The two teams can line up their bullpens. I still say the Dodgers' bullpen is scary if you're a fan of that team. It's been their Achilles heel for years. But the Rays are not giving up. They saw what the Astros did to them in the ALCS, where they were up 3-0 and the Astros forced a game 7. So, you know, why not? And Kevin Kiermaier, longest tenured Ray, he's got the faith.
if there's any team who can, you know, respond well with their backs against the wall, in a sense, you know, no one is at stake. You know, we're in a situation now where it's win or go home. You know, our group is the group to, you know, come through when we need it the most.
I think it is interesting the fact that the roles are reversed here. They were not the underdog against the Astros. That was Houston. Despite all of their experience in the postseason, Tampa was the best team in the American League all year long, and they had the 3-0 lead. So once Houston won a game and then two games, obviously the pressure shifts and it becomes much more on the team that is supposed to win. But they were able to come through despite all the histrionics of the Astros and the dramatic rallies. They win in a game seven. So here they are. Clearly the pressure is on the Dodgers. There's no doubt about that. They blow game four because of their own errors and their own miscues. They win game five, yes, but they're supposed to win. The Dodgers are favored. And I'm not even sure that matters. What matters is that this is their third appearance in 4 years. And in both of the previous tries, they've fallen short, not to mention all the other times they've gotten to the playoffs and haven't even made it to the World Series. The pressure is firmly on the shoulders of the Dodgers. And it was firmly on Clayton Kershaw's shoulders Sunday as well. I bet there are a lot of people out there who thought this was going to be a Tampa game for the taking, considering it was Tyler Glasnow who was pitching for the Rays. And Kershaw wasn't brilliant. It was a completely different game than what we saw in the opener. But he has a lot of experience. He brings all of that to the mound with him. And it was good enough to get the win. And cool for Kershaw, with all of this postseason experience under his belt, he's never pitched in a situation quite like this before, where he's at a neutral site and yet 40 miles from where he grew up. So his family can be there among those at Globe Life Field.
Yeah, this year has been just, you know, special, weird, special, different in a lot of ways. So, you know, I think to get to be here and, you know, last minute we were able to get a few extra nosebleed seats, my wife said. So we got to bring, you know, an extra 10 or so people here. So I don't know the exact number of how many people were here, but I mean, that wouldn't happen any other time because travel's so hard right now with what's going on in the country. So thankful that family and friends are getting to come to World Series games that I get to be a part of. And, you know, I don't want to say it's working out the way that I wanted it to, just because being at Dodger Stadium would be awesome too. But to get to have family and friends here, to get to have, you know, as packed house as it can be and basically seem like it's all Dodger fans is very special as well.
So Clayton Kershaw with two wins in the World Series. Some kind of redemption if the Dodgers can close it out after everything that he's gone through and everything people have said about his postseason career. He is, by the way, the all-time strikeouts leader in baseball postseason history, which is pretty damn amazing. All right, we got a lot to get to in football. What was the craziest thing you saw in sports this weekend? You're kind of crazy.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second down and long. Tannehill, play fake, fires, got it complete. Brown, 35, 40, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. 74 yards, touchdown, Titans. Ball at the half-yard line. Give Henry, diving, scoring. Touchdown, Titans. Henry, over the top for six. Roethlisberger dropping, firing towards the end zone for Smith-Schuster. It's intercepted. Intercepted on a deflection. Picking it off is Hooker. And the Titans will get it at their 20. Down three with 2:35 to play.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We know that there has been at least one team that has rallied from a 14-point deficit to win every week in the NFL going into this weekend. And there were all kinds of fantastic finishes in which maybe you thought the game was out of reach or didn't think it was possible. I don't believe what I just saw. It doesn't just apply to baseball, you know. You hear Mike Keith there on the Titans radio network as that Pittsburgh Steelers 20-point lead, it was not safe. A tale of two halves. The Steelers only manage a field goal in the second half. And meanwhile, Tennessee is sparked by what is a 73-yard touchdown catch and run, Ryan Tannehill to A.J. Brown, and then a 12-play drive. Derrick Henry gets into the end zone. And after that, as the Titans have pulled within three, it looks to me like the Steelers have steadied themselves. All right, they took a punch. They staggered. But they're going back to what is working for them, which is the ball control. 8 minutes, 16 plays. Okay, now it's time to score. But Roethlisberger has a ball that's tipped and intercepted in the end zone, his third interception of the game. And Tennessee looking like they are going to force overtime in this one in Nashville, fans on hand.
Gostkowski trying to knot the count. Snap, set, kick on the way. No good. No good. He missed it wide to the right.
Oh, Steven Gostkowski. Has anyone had more of a roller coaster ride in football so far this year than him? But we try to remind you, kickers are people too. That would also come into play on Sunday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Gostkowski misses wide right on a 45-yard attempt with seconds remaining. And so Tennessee absorbs its first loss of the year, now at 5-1, while the Steelers are 6-0 for the second time in franchise history. And they're the only team that is still standing with no losses, as both the Titans lose, of course, as well as the Seahawks on Sunday night. If you missed it, man, this one was crazy. In fact, it went into overtime after Game 5 of the World Series had wrapped up. And so it was nonstop for hours on Sunday night. This was a game in which the Seattle Seahawks got 200 receiving yards for Tyler Lockett. And once again, he's walking tight ropes and toe dragging in the back of the end zone. This man is, he's a circus act. And he and Russell Wilson have a great connection. Three touchdowns. But they lose Chris Carson early in the game and Russ was off. So Russ throws three picks. He had three picks all year coming into Sunday Night Football. And I think it really stood out to me. We've seen the deficiencies of that Seahawks defense. We've seen that there are holes. They will give up a lot of yards rushing. But in addition to that, very often it's Russell Wilson and the offense that have to cover up the sins of the defense. They got to score extra points. They got to take advantage of all their opportunities. Late in games, they've got to come up with dramatic rallies or last second drives because the defense has been porous. So when Russ has an average Joe game of three interceptions, when he has a game in which he's off, well, then all of a sudden it's completely different. And so the Seahawks waste, essentially, this three touchdown affair, this career day from Tyler Lockett. They do end up in overtime because of a Zane Gonzalez kick. What did I say? Kickers are people too. Just remember that. So they go into overtime after Arizona has 10 points in the final 3 minutes to tie. And it's an up and down affair in overtime as well.
Here's the snap. Ball down. The kick is on the way and it's no good. He missed it wide left. Zane Gonzalez hooked it wide left and we will play on with 2:42 to go in overtime. We're still tied. 34-34.
20 seconds to go. Snap. Ball is down. Kick from Gonzalez is up. It looks good. It is good! The Cardinals win it! An incredible finish at State Farm Stadium. The Cardinals take down Seattle. 37-34. Redemption for Zane Gonzalez.
Amazing finish for the Cardinals. Sandwiched in between the missed field goal and the field goal. I'm thinking we're headed for a tie and I'm going to have to pitch a fit. Are you kidding me? This great NFC West matchup ends in a tie? No. Except Wilson gets picked off, and I'm not actually sure who he was throwing to. His third interception in overtime sets up Zane Gonzalez for what is the game winner. Second time's a charm. The call's on Westwood One with Ryan Radke and then on the Cardinals radio network. And it was Dave Pasch who used the word redemption for Zane Gonzalez. And so that's the deal. The defense, well, both defenses gave up a ton of yards, nearly 1,100 yards combined for these two teams on Sunday Night Football. The difference is that Russ was a little off. Now, he was great when he had to be, but he also had some interceptions, and the offense sputtered there late in the game. And so it's a bit of a role reversal for Russ and the Seahawks.
We usually win games like this. That's the reality. You know, we usually win these close matchups. We've done it for years. You know, and so, you know, our confidence and our vision and who we're going to be and who we are doesn't change.
I'm just excited that these guys can you know, celebrate. They've worked really hard, had that two-game losing streak, and they've really, really focused at practice and in the meetings and taking it upon themselves when they do have extra time to put in the work, and it's paid off.
Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals are second place by a half game in the NFC West. This division is a monster with the Niners punking the Patriots on Sunday. San Francisco's at 4-3, and that's the worst record in the division. The Rams host the Bears tonight. This should be a good one. Rams at 4-2, Bears at 5-1. So we'll see what happens with Los Angeles. Do the Rams get their fifth win and become the third team in the West with five wins? Or do they fall back into a tie with the Niners? This is a division that is going to be a fight to the finish. I love it. And I think it's really cool that we're seeing the development, the progress, and of course the addition of weapons like DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals lineup that has made them so much better in year two of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. Also, the thought dawned on me during Sunday Night Football. Do you think that Deshaun Watson refuses to watch Cardinals games? I would, if it were me. I would not be able to stomach. If it was me and I was Deshaun Watson, I would have to stay away from all Cardinals games. Not only are the Cardinals that much better than you, but they've got your receiver in what might have been one of the worst trades in NFL history. My personal opinion. Poor Deshaun. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I love how many of you are weighing in with your kind of crazy. Everything from the Detroit-Atlanta finish to Steelers-Titans to, oh, Browns-Bengals. Man alive, that was my choice. How about the finish as well to Seattle-Arizona that we just talked about? Maybe you want to vote for Monday MVP. We got some incredible candidates. A lot of people calling for a quarterback change in New England. Oh, dear. It's on, baby. It's on.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds are the keto-friendly snack that's as bold as you are. Be big, be bold, be adventurous. Visit porkrinds.com. Kurt used to be the voice of those pork rinds, but then Amy Lawrence of CBS Radio took your job.
Well, Amy's great.
But she is. And I was visiting with her last. She tracked me. I'd left New England and worked my way to Dallas last night, and it was about midnight, and the phone rings, and she says, "Will you come on and visit my show?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "What's the deal about taking money out of my guy's pocket there for the pork rinds commercial?"
Yeah, she's better at than I am. Yeah, so
I hate to admit it, but she is.
I know. I hate to admit it too, but the truth is the truth. And
all right,
hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not sure we'll ever get to a day when that isn't cool, but how about this? We're going to top that for you guys. That was last week on Monday Night Football after Kevin Harlan joined the show and promised he was going to give Kurt some ribbing, give him some crap because I, quote unquote, took money out of Kurt's pocket. I think he's good. Anyway, We managed to, through some back channels, you know, the dark web and all, secure an interview, a commitment with Kurt Warner. So Kurt Warner will be joining us on tonight's show following Monday Night Football, which is really exciting. I've always wanted to have him on one of my shows. I've never had a chance to talk to him in person. Well, I've never had a chance to talk to him one-on-one for a show, so this is going to be really cool. So after Monday Night Football, in which he will work with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One, you'll hear it on many of these great CBS Sports Radio stations, then Kurt will join us from Los Angeles. So I couldn't be more geeked up. I'm going to try not to make a fool of myself, but we are going to remind him that I took his job as the Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds voice. Okay, it's going to be awesome. He's a Hall of Fame QB. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Monday morning to you. I hope you had a good weekend and yours did not feature a giant cricket hopping around. I'm telling you, that sucker had ups all over my kitchen and I couldn't catch him the first three or four times. Where was DK Metcalf when I needed him? I didn't play it before the break when we were talking about Seattle and Arizona, but I do want to make sure you hear it in all of its glory. The moment that sports fans should be, will be talking about on Monday morning.
First and goal. Russell takes a shotgun snap. Carson, oh no! It's picked off! Going the other way is Buda Baker down the near sidelines. Nobody's going to catch him unless Metcalf can. He is sprinting. He is running. He dives and he catches him. DK Metcalf catches Buda Baker on a little dump pass into the right flat. Russell never saw him.
22 miles an hour. 22 miles an hour. DK Metcalf accelerates. He's in the end zone. Part of the offensive play that gets broken up by Buda Baker. Buda then takes off down the sidelines, seemingly headed for a 100-yard pick six. Except it's only 90 yards because DK Metcalf chases him down. You know DK's a big dude, right? Big and speedy. Oh my gosh, if you haven't seen it, it's stupid. It's stupid how fast he is. And he essentially breaks out of the blocks and just goes straight down the field. And I wonder if Buda heard him coming. I wonder if he could hear those footsteps. Check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I'm telling you, it is amazing. If you didn't watch it on Sunday Night Football, we got a couple of different angles which are there. So check it out. Freaky fast, to be sure. Not to mention he's a pretty great receiver. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. DK is not in our Monday MVP poll. Instead, we've got Tyler Lockett in a losing effort. So you know it was a career day. We could have put a bunch of other candidates in there. It's always hard for us to choose four, but on our Twitter page, you can vote, or on Facebook, you can just pontificate. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. We've taken some good calls tonight. Some football fans who need therapy, but our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. Sponsored by Geico. You know, it's really scary seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico if you did it when I started nagging you. It could keep you up at night, or you could just switch to Geico and save. Another one of the crazy football games over the weekend, certainly the Battle of Ohio. Now, early in the game, it featured an injury to Odell Beckham Jr., and unfortunately, the Browns fear that it's a serious knee injury. It actually happened on a Baker Mayfield interception, and OBJ, he wasn't quite like DK Metcalf. He planted awkwardly and had to be helped off the field after that.
The ball to Odell, just, you know, we knew we were going to have a one-on-one, wanted to give him a chance, but I didn't do that, left it short and inside, and, you know, I'm probably going to beat myself up about that one for a long time.
And so Baker Mayfield blaming himself for the OBJ injury, though. That's not how it works. But it is unfortunate. They looked like they were finding a good rhythm and a groove. What it does, though, is force other receivers to step up. And boy, did we get a young man who stepped into the spotlight, a rookie, as a matter of fact, late in this game. But let me set the stage for you. The lead changed five times in the fourth quarter between the Bengals and the Browns. 79 yards, 80 yards, 75 yards, 75 yards, 75 yards. Those were the scoring drives. All of it pure drama. Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, it would be super cool if these two guys stayed in this division, kind of grew up together, so to speak, as quarterbacks and played maybe deep into their 30s. They have so much talent. And while there certainly are mistakes and miscues, turnovers, obviously Baker can be a bit of a roller coaster ride himself. This one was fantastic. When Giovanni Bernard grabs the touchdown throw from Burrow with 1:06 to go in the fourth quarter, the Bengals were back in front. Except there was enough time left on the clock for Baker Mayfield to go to work.
And here we go. They are second down and 10 at the 24-yard line. Out they come. Shotgun. Kareem Hunt in the backfield. Two receivers left, one right. Mayfield back to pass. Looks. Going towards the end zone. And it's caught by Donovan Peoples-Jones. Touchdown! He got it! He got it! The rookie from Michigan got it with 11 seconds left to go!
He had just that 1:04 to work with. And yet they go 5 plays in 55 seconds. And Donovan Peoples-Jones is the guy who steps up. His first career touchdown. And Jim Donovan nails the call. Baker's 5th touchdown comes late in the fourth quarter. And as bad as he was the week before against Pittsburgh, that's how good he was against the Bengals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll wait to hear about the Odell Beckham Jr. injury, but unfortunately, as I say, there's talk that it could be a serious injury. Hope not an ACL or something that needs surgical repair. So if you look at the AFC North now, the Steelers, the only undefeated team at 6-0, Ravens on a bye at 5-1, Browns at 5-2, and the Bengals at 1-5. Now, they're competitive. They've been pushing a lot of teams. They obviously don't have the offensive line yet. Their defense is bad. But Joe Burrow and some of those weapons, T. Higgins, fun to see him throw to T, another rookie. At least they push their opponents. There has been talk that some of the veterans want out of Cincinnati and don't want to be part of a rebuilding project. So we'll see what happens around the trade deadline, which comes up in, 8 days? So that's your AFC North. The only reason it's not the best division in football is because the NFC West actually has all 4 teams above 500. Buffalo wins ugly against the Jets on Sunday. Let's be honest, if it's any other team besides the Jets and all they manage is the 6 field goals from Tyler Bass, they probably lose this game. They go 0-for-5 in the red zone, and this one would drive me nuts if I was Sean McDermott. 11 penalty flags for 106 yards. Any other team, they lose that game. And in fact, they would be sitting that on 3 straight losses. Kansas City Chiefs, their offense, a little out of rhythm, out of sync in Denver. The Denver defense is tough. Also, snow on the ground and some pretty biting wind chills in the Mile High City. But it's defense and special teams that worked for the defending Super Bowl champs. Daniel Sorensen, a pick 6. Byron Pringle goes 100 yards on a kick return. And so they end up finding another way to win. And that's what I like about both the Bills and the Chiefs. This wasn't their comfort zone. In fact, they were decidedly uncomfortable on Sunday, and yet they both pulled away with wins. Speaking of uncomfortable, it might have gone from bad to worse for the Dallas Cowboys. Andy Dalton knocked out on a dirty, nasty, helmet-to-helmet tackle. I won't even call it a tackle. It was just a hit. It was a targeting play by John Bostic of Washington. And so he's out in concussion protocol. Rookie Ben DiNucci has to take over. At this point, it really doesn't matter. Washington wallops Dallas, and good for Washington with 208 rushing yards. And so now you've got 3 teams in the NFC East with 2 wins. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they look better and better every week. They really do. Their game against the Packers was pretty eye-opening because they scored 38 points in a row. But on the road in Las Vegas, they're already up double digits at the break against the Raiders. And while the Raiders did come back, Tampa scored touchdowns on their final 3 drives of the game. And listen to this. This is so Tom Brady. 9 different guys catching passes from him on Sunday. He finishes with 5 total touchdowns, 1 quarterback hit. That is a surefire way to ensure that Tom Brady has a career day against you. If you can get no pressure on him, he will eat you alive. He'll pick you apart. And he did that to the Raiders. No sacks, 1 quarterback hit. It's kind of funny to hear his assessment of the team following their win.
We had a decent day today, and glad we won on the road, but none of it matters for next week. And there's a lot of football left to play. There's a lot of good football teams. We just got to keep growing.
And now they've added Antonio Brown to the mix. Bruce Arians saying that he believes AB has matured. There's a lot of weapons there in Tampa. He won't even be close to the number one option, so it'll be interesting to see how that falls into place. The New Orleans Saints with a good back and forth against the Carolina Panthers. So the Saints get their 4th win, but still a half game behind the Buccaneers in the NFC South. Any chance we have time to use the Dan Miller call from Detroit, or do we not? We don't. I'm so sorry, because I love this call. We'll leave you with this. It was weird and wacky and yet wonderful for the Detroit Lions, who are now at 3-3, by the way. A crazy 4th quarter where Atlanta makes some mistakes and sets up the Lions. TJ Hockenson catches the touchdown to tie the game with no time left on the clock after Todd Gurley tried not to score on the possession before. They just left too much time, and Matthew Stafford made them pay. It was the extra point that gave them the win after time had already run off the clock. So congratulations to the Lions. As I say, now at 500. So we got a lot that we can talk about still moving forward. Monday Night Football, Kurt Warner will join us. We'll take a break from the World Series before we get back to it on Tuesday. We'll talk more about it coming up tonight after Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.